Elliot.
Hello.
Both of us use Spotify, and everyone else that's
not sponsored, by the way,
not sponsored. We do publish through Spotify podcasters, but that is neither here nor there. We both use Spotify, and the reason we're talking about this is because Spotify has become quite unhinged recently for both of us. There are playlists that Spotify will create for you. There's like a morning, an afternoon, and an evening playlist that they'll kind of make for you based on what you listen to during that point. And so I've been getting some quite unhinged playlists recently. Yeah. And mine are unhinged and yours are very vague.
Yeah, I got guitar indie Tuesday evening. Because I'm recording on what is a Tuesday evening for me.
Yesterday afternoon was Mall Goth Power Pop Monday afternoon.
Sensational.
Right? This morning's Indie Sleaze Post Punk Revival Tuesday morning.
Yeah, that's one thing I realized getting, so I remember when I was younger, I would like listen to new music like basically every week.
Yeah.
And then like my dad would listen to the same like 200 songs on repeat.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
For like the last 10 years. I'm like, how do you not get bored of this? And then I hit 25 and I basically have not found new artists in a long time. It's just kind of sad.
So you're saying in a year and a half, I will become stagnant.
Pretty much. Your music taste kind of hits a point where it's just like, yeah, this is now just what I listen to for the rest of my life, I think. I think that's just the way it is.
I think there's a good chunk of that that's like, you have a bunch of bands you like. So, for example, I like the band Neck Deep. Everyone that plays Counter-Strike has heard of Neck Deep because they've got a million music hits, right? But at one point, Neck Deep will stop making music.
Yeah.
And at that point, there just won't be Neck Deep, and I'd have to go find someone new. And I feel like there becomes an age in which you, if you like current music, that there is just no more current music for you to like that is the same bit as.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I one question I like to ask people is, rather than what playlist Spotify has made for you, what's your most specific playlist that you have?
I have one massive playlist called Cherry, which is basically full albums.
Okay.
But my most specific playlist is my most specific playlist is a playlist called Secret Halloween Playlist.
Nice.
Which has the Secret Halloween I think it's a book cover or something, or maybe a game cover, and it is just all Halloween songs that we made for my roommates and I made for a Halloween party 4 years ago and has still stayed on my Spotify. But
nice.
I think the weird specific playlist for me is actually the Spotify blends. So I have them with a bunch of friends and we'll get like a bunch of like, there'll be like some metalcore in there, pop punk, punk rock. And then once in a while, it'll just have like a random country song in there because we have like one friend who will listen to some country and just like randomly in the middle of the country song. It's really funny. So I think those are the most specific ones.
So I have a couple of shared playlists, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
But I have a playlist that is ostensibly for like when the other people you're listening to it with you. So it's a lot more public facing stuff. It's like the part of my music taste that is more socially acceptable, but then mixed in with a little bit of stuff that I would listen to on my own, just so you still know it's me. I think that's kind of my most specific one. But I also have, I used to have mini playlists that were just songs that I knew my friends hated, like they're their individual names. So that if I ever make a group playlist with them, I could put them in just to.
So just to annoy them. This is the last Spotify story we'll talk about. When I was in college, we had like a TV in the main room of our apartment that we had like four people in. And my roommate's girlfriend, she didn't live with us, but she was there very frequently. She's great. Everyone in that apartment was great. But I'd go to class at like 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. or something like that. I'd have like once a week super long class. And I was logged into Spotify on the TV. So that way we could play stuff just through the TV. Or maybe it was through the PlayStation that we had hooked up with the TV. Either way.
Yeah,
I'd go to class and I'd see that they'd be playing some sort of music on the TV, Now, for what it's worth, it's music I generally wouldn't listen to. It'd be like Drake or something else, and just like, or like rap or country or something that I don't generally listen to, right? But Spotify has the ability for you to control one Spotify instance from another device.
Yep.
So I'd just randomly chuck some songs in there, and I'd get texts that were like, "What the fuck is going on?" And it was
you got to play dumb at that point. I've got no idea what you're talking about.
I have no clue. I've never seen this happen before. It definitely doesn't only happen on Tuesdays from 7 to 10 p.m. while I'm in class. All right, let's get into Counter-Strike. That's what people are here for. At least that's what we've been told. It's a quiet week in the event front.
Yeah.
There's BetBoom Daha that's starting today. There's CCT Global Finals that start in like 2 days. But in our pre-show, both of us determined that we can't be asked to talk about either of them.
Yeah, like BetBoom Daha is like, it's a strange event. Nobody really, like, I doubt there's many of you that are taking it seriously. I doubt any team outside of BetBoom are really taking it that seriously.
Yeah.
There's a couple of big teams there, but the only reason HFTV covered it so much last time is because it was Donk's first event, and it's no longer Donk's first event, so I don't think anyone cares that much.
And then CCT Global Finals is just, it's just, it feels like Pro League Part 2, and we just had Pro League, and...
Like, I like CCT because it gives a lot of casters a lot of practice, gives a lot of teams a lot of practice. It's there's obviously a good thing. I just don't care. Like, it's fine, but I just don't care.
Yeah. There's a lot of teams in here from a lot of regions, which I really like. There's, like, Gaming Gladiators, which I guess is actually a Danish team now, but in my head it's always been an American team.
Yeah.
I know they're just not. And we get to see the return of Omkol, and there's a couple other interesting teams in here.
Everyone's favorite team.
Everyone's favorite team, Omkol. But I don't know. It's an interesting event, and there's plenty of the, as you said, casters, really fun.
It's a good opportunity for all of them, yeah.
Tony's there, my guy Dugate is there. There's tons of people. Exner's there.
I feel like I should correct you because he'll get upset with me. It's Grimmy Ranar. And if you ask him why he spelt it grimy, he doesn't have an answer for that because he can't spell.
That sounds like his fucking problem, though.
Yeah, if he wanted to spell it grimy,
then he should have spelled it that way.
I completely agree.
If he put two M's, I would have pronounced it grimy.
Exactly. But I've told him this.
It's grimy.
I have told him this.
All right. Today's show, we're talking about Mao's and Pro League very quickly, and then we're going to talk about all the other fucking shit that happened this week, because there's tons of it in terms of like little roster moves. So if you had guessed ahead of time that the group stage team of all time would win the group stage event of all time,
which I think I did, I think I we said both actually quite did. Early on, Mouse will probably win this event.
Yeah, it was Mouse that won Pro League. Literally no one's surprised, I don't think.
No, I mean that they are, although I do think this is a glimpse into, if Mouse can sort out their arena issues, for want of a better word, their arena issues, they might just be the best team in the world.
They're so good in group stage.
Yeah, they are so good in low pressure situations.
Or in studio.
Yeah, in lower pressure situations.
They're not a blast team, are they?
I don't remember.
I don't think they are, but if they were, they'd be so good in blast is still
kind of an arena. It is an arena. Like that they would still, I do think it's playing in front of a crowd that really.
Well, I'm talking about the like the mini arena one. Like the studio events that they do that are like 700 ones and named ridiculously.
Yeah,
like the Blast Spring Fall Last Chance Qualifier Finals or whatever.
Yeah, they'd be in the Last Chance Qualifier.
No, they'd crack through all of those.
Yeah,
I think top eight we guessed pretty correctly on, or we had by the time we recorded last week. I want to point out a couple things here. Complexity finishing third, fourth, I think was a huge win for Complexity. There had been some moments recently that I think that if you looked at Complexity, you're like, oh, well, they were really good at the beginning of CS2, but now they've kind of just fallen off. And I think we saw good Complexity again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Complexity, they're really hard to judge because they don't feel like they're a really good team. When you look man for man, you kind of don't think they're one of the best teams in the world, but they seem to have an ability to finish in top four in some of these bigger events. Like, they don't, they're not very well versed on stage because they spent so long actually not being on stage. They're actually, for a team that's been together for so long, at least the core of it, they haven't got much stage experience. If they get more stage experience, they could actually be quite dangerous.
But by core here, I just want to confirm that you're talking about Grim, Floppy, JT. It's sure, not. Yeah. Well, because generally when you think of a Complexity, and if you were to say, who's the core of Complexity, I would go, oh, it's a Liege, Halzerk, Floppy, or a Liege, Grim, Floppy. I would include a Liege in that, right? But sure. When we talk about the core of Complexity, a Liege is the new guy there. Halzerk,
yes, but Elise also, you know, he's good on stage. You have no
exactly. But I'm stage. So the original core of Complexity,
yeah,
the Grim, Floppy, JT. Now, Grim does have some experience on stage, Floppy does have, like, they all have some, but it's not to the same level that a lot of other players have,
yeah, like they do have some, but for a team that's been together this long, they have like vanishingly low, small, arena games.
The other team I wanted to point out here was Astralis.
Yeah. Who,
like, ended in the same spot as Complexity. Were really good through the group stages, right? Didn't lose a single map up until they lost to Vitality. When they lost the two maps in that series 2-1. And I thought Astralis had a really good showing under Device IGL.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think many of us were kind of surprised by, but also, if you had told me 3 weeks, like if you had told me before the Device move that they moved him to IGL and you said, hey, we're going to make Device our IGL. If you'd give me 10 minutes to think about it, I probably wouldn't. Yeah, I get this.
Yeah, like it does make more sense than people want to admit, I think. He's played under a lot of very, very good in-game leaders. He plays a slower style of game that is less mechanically focused, and he probably spends a lot of time. He clearly spends a lot of time thinking about the game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's now reaching the sort of the not the end of his career, but he's probably been past the peak now, and he probably is.
I don't think we'll see Device highlight reels like we did in 2016, 2017, 2018.
He's starting to be on the downswing, and he has to think about, what does my future as a player look like? And maybe his future as a player is as an in-game leader.
And
a lot of players transition to in-game leaders later in their career. Device maybe is no different. And we're seeing that he's not bad at it, and it doesn't seem to have impacted his play just yet, at least.
I think the other interesting thing with Device being brought to IGL is he can actually make one more move to help elongate his career, which is Device has always been a very good rifler.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just on his own, he could not pick up the offer an entire game and still be a really good rifle player. And I think that he can, if they feel the need that they need more firepower, like when you, like right now, when you play with Kadian, right? Like, let's say you're Liquid, you're playing with Kadian, and you say, we need more firepower. Kadian's not going to start rifling. You remove Kadian, you have to bring in a new IGL and a new Opera, and they're going to probably be separate people, unless you go to Brazil, where there's a million op IGLs for some ungodly reason. Yeah. But with Device, he won't be as effective as a rifler as he is an Opera, but he'll still be really fucking effective.
Yeah,
you can bring in a brand new Wunderkind Opera and not lose out.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point. I do, however, think it's quite important we don't make massive judgments on one event, and B, it is a lower pressure event because there's no, like,
it's the group stage of events.
Yeah, like Astralis will have a few events a year where they do really well, and like we'll see what they're really about in the second half of the year. I think Cologne plus the second major really sets apart who's here to stay and who's flavor of the month.
Yep, I agree. Let's start talking about Apex. The team, not the player. So Apex, as we had noted on 2 weeks ago, was put completely on the transfer list. And three of the five all players except for Stiko were put on the transfer list. Stiko was a free agent. Three of the five players have now signed with new teams. So let's go through them because it's interesting. So the two players that did not get signed yet are Cachanito and Sense. In my head, I don't really expect Sense to be signed anywhere big to begin with. I can see in my head someone taking a shot on Cachanito.
Cachanito has been relatively underwhelming on this team. That doesn't necessarily mean you can completely write him off. Some tier two, I mean, it depends how you define tiers. Maybe you define tier three. Like a tier under Apex will probably sign him, and he'll probably like fry again.
Yep,
That might be where his career takes him. Like he might just end up being the sort of player who is a lower tier stomper who doesn't quite have enough to make it, or he might one day make that leap. Make the leap is like a phrase I've heard a lot from like football, a lot of stats guys where they're like, this guy's clearly got potential. Like you look in his numbers and he's like, for a 21-year-old, this guy puts up good numbers. But then there is always one season where they make the leap or never comes up. There's one season where they make the leap and they go from promising to, oh, okay, this guy's just top class now. Cachanito hasn't made that leap yet. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. I do think this time on Apex will have hurt his reputation a little bit, but I'm pretty sure he can drop down a tier and still just like frag the fuck out.
Yeah. So let's talk about one of the players that did get signed to a new contract, which is Stiko, who gets signed to Monty.
Yeah.
Which makes everything a little interesting here. So Monty had recently, they lost Sum Dae Young. That was a mutual consent leave, and then Bro was signed to Astralis. So they are missing two slots. They brought up Gimsy and Ryu from their academy roster, but both are now back down to the academy roster.
Yeah.
It seems that there is some kind of thinking here. So they've signed Stiko here. So it will be Woro2k, DemQQ, Krasnell, and Stiko. And there's rumors that the final slot is for Haji.
Yeah, it is.
A former 3D Max.
I'm pretty sure by the time this is released, Haji will also have been announced.
It's in the HLTV article. It even says it's Haji.
Yeah.
There's just not been an official announcement.
I'd heard it was Haji this morning, and then I saw them tweet out a Danish flag and a French flag, and I was like,
"Yeah,
I guess it's not Stiko and Haji then." And then they announced Stiko anyway. I'm like, "Is this some weird bait? Like, I don't get it. Did they just forget where Stiko is from?
Maybe it's Danish for bro and Haji." The French flag to say that Haji is replacing Bro.
But he's not. He's replacing Ryu or Gizmi.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Doesn't matter too much.
Gizmi's very highly rated in the UK. I wouldn't be surprised to see him go back to an English team.
He's back on Monty Academy right now. We'll see if that sticks. This team, though, I have firepower concerns a little bit. But I also see the idea.
If Krasnell goes back to the level he was at the start of CS2, there's a lot. The firepower concerns dim quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But you're kind of gambling on one of Haji or Krasnell really getting back to the level we've seen them at in the past. Otherwise, this team is a little bit lacking.
So here's my question: who's IGLing this team?
Woro2k.
It's gonna keep being Woro.
I would assume so. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Every time I see Stiko join a team, I start thinking Stiko IGL jump. When is it happening?
He's done it in the past, but I think it'll be Woro.
Okay. I think Stiko kind of fills the same role as Sum Dae Young did for this team originally.
I don't know. Sum Dae Young was kind of a star on this team.
No. I don't mean the in-game role. I mean more of an out-of-game, right, okay. Unifying older veteran that's going to make sure that, because like where O2K has been around for a bit, DemQQ, Krasnall, but like they've been in and out of teams. They never really stuck in a team. I think Mystica will continue to be this like the same unifying force that Sun Dayoung was. The same way Haji will be as well. But Haji was really good on 3D Max and the original.
The thing is, like, Haji and Sticker are about the same age, but
yeah,
you don't view them anywhere near the same.
No,
but there's something about Haji where you just kind of think he's like 22, and you look it up, it's like, oh, he's just not at all.
No, he's not. I mean, he played for Envy, like,
yeah, exactly. He's been around for a long time.
During the French Envy bit,
he's been pretty good for a long time as well. Like, I've always kind of liked Haji as a player. I think he's pretty solid.
I agree. I think this team is fun. I don't expect this team to win tournaments.
Yeah.
I don't think adding Haji and Stiko says, oh, we're going to start winning tournaments. But do I expect they'll do well? Do I expect they qualify for Shanghai? Yeah, absolutely. Do I expect that they'll go to Cologne and not be the worst team in Cologne? Yeah.
It's important that Monty have a secure five, because they're a team who, or certainly an organization and previously a team, that seem to really value playing thousands of maps, just playing the game endlessly until they get good. And they can't really do that until they have a settled five. Now it seems like they have a settled five. I think they can actually start to rack up these minutes, rack up these reps, and get back to the Monty we saw last year.
So the other two players that got signed were Nock and Jacob, who I'm not going to say I called it, because I didn't call it, but I kind of called it.
Yeah.
Because I said that Jacob is available and JKS is available and they could make a Renegades remake.
Yeah.
I was right in the Renegades remake. It just wasn't with JKS. It was with their coach Kassad.
Yeah.
As Bleed have signed Nock and Jacob to replace VLDN and Cirque. Now, I want to talk about these individually.
Hard upgrades.
I think they're both hard upgrades. So, but I have more notes to say on the Jacob for VLDM and bit than the Cirque. So Nock over Cirque any day of the week. I don't think that I need to talk anyone into Nock being a huge upgrade over Cirque.
Nock's significantly better than Cirque.
Cirque doesn't. I haven't seen Cirque play like the Cirque of 2020 EG in a really long time, and I don't know if he can get it back. I don't know.
When he was good, he was so reliant on his mechanics that there was never a fallback plan if his mechanics were no longer like top five in the world.
So, Vladin, though, for Jacob for Vladin, it is an upgrade. Right now, this day of the week, it is an upgrade.
Yeah.
And this comes to a team building idea, where that some people want to say, hey, Vladin's considerably younger than Jacob. He could get a lot better in the next year. He could make that leap, right? We've seen like bits and pieces of it before when he was playing for iNation. But Jacob is just a better player right now, and this team becomes really interesting with the addition of Jacob and Nock.
Yeah, so this is, as you mentioned, it does make the team significantly older. Like, they're not a young team, Bleed, so they do kind of need to start winning soon. But esports is weird in that being younger isn't really considered as much of a benefit as it is in other sports. And I'm not 100% sure why. I think people like to deny the fact that age is a factor. But this team has to actually start performing now, because I don't think this team has age on its side. I'm going to go now and look at the actual ages of these players.
So it's an average age of 25 and a half.
See, it's a Counter-Strike is a zoomer's game, man.
Hampus is 25, Favin's 24, Cypher is 21, Nock is 26, and Jacob is 30.
Yeah, so Cypher's really the only one under 23, which...
So I do have a but here, right? Which is, Jacob, obviously, he has lost steps since being on FaZe almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Jacob's still really fucking good. No,
he is. That's like, my concern isn't that these players aren't good. It's that if this team doesn't win now, you don't have...
Correct.
Like, you can't go, oh, it's not like when Mouse were kind of doing badly with exertion and that, and you're like, well, yeah, but if we get it wrong this time, we cut Dexter for another in-game leader. Eventually, exertion's going to be one of the best players in the world. Eventually, Torji's going to be one of the best orbs in the world. You can believe in that. If this team doesn't start winning events, even if they're tier two events, if this team doesn't start going to the major, what do you hang your hat on? What is there to go? Like, well, it's okay, we've got next year. Like, this team,
I agree.
This team has a sell by date.
I agree, but I think this team also, if they can get their shit together, that's a big if. But if they can get their shit together, this could be a pretty good team. I'm not saying this is a championship winning team. I'm not saying this is a tournament winning team. But I could see this team get really high in the group stage, make a playoff go at round one or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
there are
good players on this team.
I think this is like a way, fundamentally, I disagree with most people when it comes to professional sports. That if you're not trying to win or make money, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. And I don't think this team is trying to do either. Like, there are two ways to be an organization in professional sport. You could be a seller's club or you could be a buyer's club. And a seller's club is aiming to take young players and make them or really undervalued older PKs players and sell them.
Yeah,
a buyer's club is trying to win. Mm-hmm. I don't know which one bleed are in because they're not going to sell Jacob, Hampus, Nork. Probably, maybe you could probably sell Favon for profit. I don't think you're going to sell the other three for profit. So you're
Favon
sinking
or
money.
Cypher,
in.
I could see being sold for profit.
And like, what's the plan to make? I guess the plan to make money is to go to two majors, and therefore you've made money. But that seems like a massive gamble with this team.
Yeah, especially because this is a Europe team, right? So Bleed as an organization is Singaporean, I believe, right? And so if they sign it. At the beginning of this project, when they signed Kassad, I went, are they going to make a team in Asia or are they making a team in Europe? And they said Europe, and they've been making this team in Europe. And I just, this team can't compete in Europe as much as other teams. Like, we just talked about Monty. I think Monty is a better team than this.
Yeah. But, like, but even Monty, you sort of see, like, you sort of see the folly of competing as an org like this.
So we always say in our podcast that something is inevitably going to happen once we stop hitting the record button. Today it was 3 hours after we stopped the record button. And so now it is 7:45 p.m. Eastern or 12:30 in the morning for Elliot.
Yeah.
And we had to do a little addendum because we recorded on Tuesday this week because of travel obligations. So we felt it necessary to add a little bit here about Blame F. We've either talked before in this episode or after in this episode, because I don't remember where this is going, about Blame for 5 seconds. And we talked about Blame F more specifically last week.
Yeah.
Right. When we talked about Thorin, and this Blame F article that he put out. So Fnatic have signed Blame F, and he's replacing QB. Now, Fnatic was on the list of that Thorin made a week ago.
Yeah, they I believe I said it made a lot of sense. He felt like a Fnatic player.
Yeah, it was the last team on the list. But the... I'm going to read what Thorin wrote, and then we'll have a conversation about it. Fnatic had multiple dynasties in CS 1.6 and CSGO, but have long since fallen on hard times, become much more of an OG or a sprout when it comes to international lineups than a FaZe or Mouse. Recent roster construction screams of cynical budget min-maxing and lacks a reason for a Fnatic fan to be hyped beyond watching the last dimming days of Iron Man Crims' absurdly long and storied career. But Blame F in the mix, and Fnatic has more experience, a strong fragger, and a role entirely taken care of. Then the potential of Opera, Afro, and IGL Body can be tested for their long-term value. Fnatic have played 23 land maps together thus far, and not a single player is at or above a 1-0 HLTV rating, and none of them is even above a 0.93 KD. This is a team crying out for firepower and a stable star presence.
Yep. Completely right.
Yeah. So based on that, right, if you were guessing last week that he was going to go to Fnatic, it was going to be, right, Mattis or QB that would be removed from the team based on that Thorn thing. And completely right.
Yeah, I think no matter what you think of Blame F, and we're neither of us particularly keen on him as a player.
No.
He is somebody who elevates the floor of a team like this. This team, as Thorin correctly says, needs star power. Blame F is a consistent frag. He will lift this floor up to a level where this team probably can be a top 15-10 team quite easily.
Yeah,
my issue with Blame F has always been I don't think he's ever going to win anything, but
I think that's its own matter. We just saw this Fnatic without Blame F in Pro League, and while they were not very good in Pro League, they did beat Virtus Pro and then lose out to 3D Max and then Eternal Fire and then Virtus Pro again. But one win against Virtus Pro isn't the worst thing that they could have done.
It's not, but it's hardly it's hardly a ringing endorsement either. Like, VP lose to weird teams all the time. And they're betting in Electronic as well.
To me, I don't know if I was a Fnatic fan or Fnatic staff. How do you decide between QB and Mattis to make the switch?
I think Mattis was higher rated before Fnatic, which I think is probably
okay. And so part of this comes from Samuelson, who's the general manager of the team, who said ahead of time in Discord, we're super proud of announcing Blame to the team. Just to clarify the roles, Blame will play the star positions as a second voice, Body will call, and Crims will play the anchor roles. That feels like it may actually work.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you'd want if you're a Fnatic player. It's good to see Crims really commit to anchor roles, because he's clearly not the same player he used to be. He's still good, but like, we kind of want him to take a back seat, and I think that's probably a good thing for the team.
We talked a lot about Jacob, and I put this in perspective with Jacob because I think it's an interesting conversation, which is like, Crims and Jacob are roughly the same age, give or take like a year or two.
Which is mental.
Yeah, I mean, so Jacob is 30, and Crims is also 30, right? So they're both the same age. They both have very different careers, right? Crims was top of the world beginning of Global Offensive and has gone down, but has kind of stayed at this, like, not middling is the wrong word, but like good performance level. Whereas Jacob started at the bottom, went up to FaZe, did okay on the FaZe when they were like a top 10 team in the world, went to Renegades, was all in the Renegades for a bit, extreme, and it was kind of super all over the place up until his stint on Apex, where we saw him getting better and better, and this current stint that he is now in on Bleed, that we hope to see the same Apex Jacob that we saw. But it's one of those things where we spent 5-10 minutes earlier or later talking about Jacob in this like positive light in this Bleed move, but we're not spending the same time talking about Crims in that way. Not that it's a bad thing, but that's our nearest point of comparison, I think.
Yeah, I think the difference is that Crims has been on this team for eight. Like, it's not that they've gone out of their way to pick up Crims, like Bleed did with Jakaim. So it's a case where, they're just keeping Crims on a young team to be the sort of anchor, the stable presence, the solid voice, and the rest of the team around them is a little bit, I mean, actually, Blame F is like, I think he's 26 or something. Like he's
26.
Yeah, so he's not actually that young. So again, it's a move where they're trying to start winning, but they do have the young players in Matisse.
In Matisse, that's it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess it seems older than I think.
I mean, like, Afro's 24. The
body's still young, but he's just not, is he? Like,
no, body's 27, Afro's 24. I mean, we said with the Bleed team, the average age is 26.
Yeah.
The average age for Fnatic is 26.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of similarities here between this team and Bleed. And
yeah, I guess the difference is there's more faith that BlameF gets you in the top 10 than anyone else on Bleed.
I was going to say, I think that on a player-by-player matchup, if you go on this, that the only players that win is Jacob and Nock.
Jacob versus Crims. You have
right.
I'd Nock, say it's pretty even, but
I'd say Nock wins over Afro.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
At this point, I don't know what to think of Cypher, so I can't even put him on the board.
I think Cypher recently has been frying. I think he's probably better than Mattis right now.
Okay, and then so we're gonna say Fav and BlameF. BlameF wins that as much as like I hate saying it. And then like
say that,
Hampus to Body is negligible, right?
Like I'd probably take Body, honestly.
I'd probably take Body too, but like both so we have individual faith in
it comes down to the fact that Fnatic have a genuine star. And again, neither of us are BlameF's biggest fans, but
he's
tier above these players.
He's also more proven.
Yeah.
As much as we like, you know what you're getting with him. The only time that like, so say Cypher is your star on Bleed, which I think is not, I think it's pretty correct.
I've not watched enough of them to know in terms of their roles with the star. Yeah. Cypher has put up some really good numbers in the last few months though.
Yeah. So say Cypher is your star on Bleed. I'd be willing to say he's your best non-op player that's on Bleed.
Yeah. That's right. Awesome.
I think Nock can, it's a different like rubric we grade oppers on. Mm-hmm. So I'd say he's your best non-opper, and BlameF is obviously your best non-opper on Fnatic. There's a lot more trust and receipts for BlameF
than
there is for Bleed.
Yeah, almost certainly. I think that's the reason I look at this move slightly differently, but you are right to point out that actually they're both on a timer, like they both only have one player under 24. Like that's worth pointing out and worth considering when you're building a team like this. Like this team has to work, or the resale value is probably lowering from this point. And BlameF's contract will not be cheap.
No, and not only that, but in my head, right, Jacob probably has two or three more years left of him, even if he's not playing at the insanely high level he is right now. He will be a good support player. Even if he's not just playing hard anchor roles and stuff and he's just playing support, he will be a good support player. Crims has kind of been in the support player anchor role for a little bit. Not a pure support player role, but he's already in that, this is going to sound so mean, but like the end of life section of his career, right? Like when you put an operating system on like end of life, like, oh, there's a year.
So
there will be another move to this probably within the next year, if not quicker. I mean, I don't know how much Fnatic management believe in this team as is for getting to Shanghai. That's the goal right here. Right. And the same for Bleed is that both these teams need to be at Shanghai. Otherwise you blow it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely agree. But before we go, I have a great anecdote about Crims.
I'm in.
So the other day, a few weeks back now, I went for a drink with Mezzi's brother. He was telling me how they, you know, he was saying like, oh, you know, I like to play CS, but I don't always have a five stack. And I was like, well, don't you have, obviously your brother's Mezzi, but he's got two other brothers who also play the game and his dad plays the game as well. I was like, well, you got a five stack there. Like that's, you know, that'd be amazing. Play five stack with three brothers and your dad. But he said one day he was playing with Mezzi, one of his brothers, and his dad, but they didn't have a fifth. And Mezzi just says, go on.
I'm sorry, I have an important question. Do they all play with the same fucked controls Mezzi? Okay.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
That was a very important thing I need to ask. Please continue.
So he's queuing with Mezzi, his brother, and his dad. And he says, oh, Mezzi says to me, oh, I've got a fifth for us. Doesn't say who it is. Invites Crims to the party. And there's this guy who he says he's like a level 9 player. His dad's a few levels below, and then his brother was, I think, slightly worse, whatever. He said, I'm an AWPer. He said, I've never played this badly in my life. He's like, I'm absolutely bricking. I'm playing with the guy who's won like three majors. And I'm like, I've never played this bad. He's like telling Krims, I promise you, man, I'm not normally this bad. It doesn't normally happen like this. It's like, yeah, it's okay, man. Krims doesn't fucking care. It's a face it pug he's playing with Mezzi's dad. He doesn't, like, he probably wasn't expecting much. This guy was, it's like properly bricking. It's like, you imagine, he's like, oh, yeah, no, I've got us a fifth. And he just invites Krims. Like, now I've got to try.
Yeah. All right. Back to the rest of whatever we were talking about on this podcast.
Or this is the end.
Or this is the end. I don't know which. Which, in that case, to me, ending the podcast. I mean, let's talk about the teams that these players came from, right? So, Hampus came from NIP. Never mind. Favin came from Big. I'd say that Big is a better team right now than Favin. Yep. I know than Bleed. I know Favin was on the bench for them, but still. Cypher came from Into the Breach that literally doesn't exist anymore. Actually, they came from TSM, which is a worse team, but
it shouldn't exist. TSM are the exact same problem where they're not trying to win and they're not trying to sell. So, yeah. There's no way they can really exist.
I want to talk about TSM in a minute. We'll have a separate TSM discussion in a second. And then Nock and Jakim. I think the Apex team that was there before was a better team than this Bleed team.
Yep.
And I understand that Apex had to leave the scene because of other issues, and I think it was a money problem somewhere in the... But there's, like, some of this that goes to... I feel like every... Like, Nock and Jakim have joined a worse team, and I don't know if they make it as... Make it better enough for them to win.
Yeah, I think the way I view team building in quote-unquote real sports and esports is very different to how other people do. And clearly, like... Mm-hmm. Whenever you see broadcast talent go into it, so Henry D did the same thing. They try and make the best team they possibly can out of the players they can, which is fine, but you have to have a goal in mind. And I don't know what the goal is for this Bleed team. I don't know. You've made the best team you possibly can for the next year, but then I can't imagine these players are cheap. And...
No. No shot.
I don't know what the end goal. I personally, if I was signing Jakim, maybe you sign Jakim and Hampus, and then you sign three younger players. You keep Cypher. You sign two more like 22-year-olds who you think there is a ceiling here that hasn't been reached. And if they reach that ceiling, we can be a top 10 team. We can actually compete for events. We can be one of the biggest teams in the world, because that has to be the goal if you're a tier 2 team to me, is how do we consistently become a top 10 team in the world? And then you can talk about winning events. But like, I don't see this team being top 10.
Go and look at Ents. Go and look at Mouse. Go and look at half the Brazilian teams that exist.
Yeah. But Brazil also does the same thing where they just sign the best player they can and then
Go look at Mongols.
Yeah.
Mongols continuously make changes when we go, why the fuck are they making a change?
Mm-hmm.
And then the change benefits them. They're not scared of doing it. And I wish more teams were kind of in the same way. That's my bit here on this.
I'm sure if Kassad heard what I'm saying, he'd think I'm a fucking idiot. And I'm sure he would argue that he's fulfilling his remit and building the best team possible is what he needs to do. But I just don't see, and it sounds ridiculous, I don't see what the point of building the best team you possibly can out of tier 2-3 players is if it's not to become eventually a better team. And I don't think this team has time on its side. And we know what the ceiling of all of these players bar Cypher is. And I don't think it's top of the tier 1.
You know what this team feels like? And Kassab would really hate this if he heard it ever. Remember the Evil Geniuses roster that had Stewie and Rush and who else? Automatic. And it was like at the very end of We Are Evil Geniuses. Not the most recent one, but Breeze, Automatic, Hexed, Stewie was there for a minute. The Stewie, Automatic, Rush, Cirque, Breezy roster. That roster. The one that everyone went, why are you signing all these players?
I'm not sure I co-sign this. It's clearly a much better team than that.
But I agree this is a better team than that, okay?
Yeah.
But it feels like the same thing that we asked about Evil Geniuses then, which is you're obviously not bringing these players in to sell them, and you're obviously not trying to make money here.
Yeah.
So what are you doing?
I think what I would say is, at least in America, being the best American team is a selling point to sponsors.
Yeah, but they were the fourth best America team.
Well, yeah. I mean, they thought they were going to be the best American team. Whereas, you want to be the best international team. That makes you the best team in the world. Like, you're not going to be that. So you're just... How do Bleed set themselves apart to sponsors? The only way they can do that is by being really good. And I'm just not convinced they're going to be really good. And I think they have to be. Otherwise, this team is a waste of time. Because there's not much room for improvement. We know exactly how good nearly all of these players are. I understand this will probably be quite unpopular because most people don't care about the long-term implications of building a team like this. They just want to see the best player they can. I actually think it's a large reason why JKS struggles to get teams at the moment. It's like,
there are younger
players. If you're going to sign JKS... it's to win.
To win now.
Yeah, and there aren't that many teams who are in a position where signing JKS will turn them into a winner. The only one you could really argue is G2. Yeah.
I was just thinking that.
I will say this is the exact problem I also have with Falcons. But at least Falcons have pretty much unlimited money, so they are just throwing money at the problem. But if Falcons don't start winning in the next 6 months, this team is a monumental failure and a waste of money. Because...
yeah.
There's no time on the side for this team.
All right. Let's talk about OG. But not OG itself. Let's talk about some alumni from OG, I guess we'll go with. The first to talk about is OG alumni Neo Frag, who was playing for Sinners, who has been benched due to factors not rooted in performance rather than team vision. Now, you may have heard us say this before. Because we've said this before.
Yeah. Neofrag, he's a character. I will say, a reason's not rooted in performance doesn't necessarily mean the same thing as he was kicked for on Into the Breach.
No.
It's easy to make that assumption because it's Neofrag. I don't want to implicate him by saying he's done something that he hasn't done, or because for all we know, they might just not get on with him. He might have some personal problem that he has to go into. Like, we don't know. All they've said is it's not based on his performance.
The direct wording from Into the Breach was unequivocal breaches of ITB's moral and company standards.
Yeah, see, that is... That's pretty black and white.
Yeah.
Ironically enough. But Sinners haven't said that.
No.
They've said they've completely admitted any reason. So
team vision.
Yeah. Which again, that could be, especially as it's from somebody who speaks English as a second language, that could be, he could be being completely genuine and it be nothing to do with his past indiscretions. It could be nothing to do with him as a person. It could be anything. But it is really easy to assume the worst because it's Neo Frag.
Let me read the Sinner CEO statement. Neo is an excellent player and a great person. However, as was evident from our recent results, changes need to happen due to factors that are not necessarily rooted in statistical performance rather than ... the team's vision, you could say.
See, to me, that sounds like what I would say if I was kicking somebody for being a massive beta. And I mean, that's beta spelled. That's beta. Yeah, well, that's beta spelled with an AI, not an, you know, not BETA. I mean, like, if I was kicking, like, Blame F, I'd be like, yeah, it's nothing to do with the statistical performance. Like, that, do you know what I mean? Like, to me, that's what that sounds like. But because it's Neofrag, people immediately jump to the worst conclusion they could think of. I'm willing this time to give him the benefit of the doubt until we hear more. And I think that's important.
Hope we don't see a third time.
Yeah, like if it happens a third time, it's like, okay, you are like, you know, fool me once, etc.
Yeah. Other OG alumni, Dexter has been sitting on the bench for OG for like a year now. He's been signed to Heroic to replace Nikodaz. I want to talk the way that this happened, because it was starting to leak while Nikodaz was still playing for Heroic. Which, just like, guys, I understand leaking. Can we not leak while the guy is like actively still trying to compete in Pro League? Like, if he doesn't know, just let the guy play.
I think he probably knew. I think he probably knew,
but like,
he seemed to be making sort of noises where he was, because he said afterwards, like, yeah, the team wants a dedicated AWPer, and I understand that. And it's like, I actually feel really bad for Nikodaz. Like,
so do I.
It's so clear that he was really good on Copenhagen Wolves, and something broke. Like, I think it was that time when Fnatic just seemed to break him, and like,
it's that time when Dexter was his IGL.
Oh god, yeah, that can't help. I mean,
actually, wait, did we? I feel like we've done the math on this before. Was Dexter actually his IGL?
No, whatever. Like,
it's one of those canonical things.
He clearly had. He clearly was good at some point, and something changed, and he's just. He's not a tier one AWPer, and I feel bad for him, because it's quite clear that he understands that. He's not, I don't think he's delusional about it. He's just kind of like, yeah, no. I've tried. They want a better AWPer than me, and I have to just accept that. I feel bad for him, because he gets a lot of the stick for this team, and it's like, yeah, because everyone else is kind of hard to blame. But like, he's not terrible, and I think he'll end up being a rifler and be quite good, so.
I'm going to blame Shush now.
Yeah, nobody's going to blame Shush. Tessess isn't going to get the blame. Kicksan, everyone likes. And Nerds is really good, so.
Yeah.
This Heroic team on paper is very, it's actually very scary. If you get a fit and firing Dexter and a fit and firing Nerds, that's a duo that could go toe to toe with nearly anyone in the world. Like,
that's a scary team.
Nerds, Dexter at their peak are both superstars. Like, they are both superstars at their peak. Like, if you get them both at their best,
and they have one of the best surrounding cast members.
Yeah, this team is man for man. There are a few teams scarier than this Heroic team.
Are you telling me that this is like Vitality before they won the major, when they had Zywoo, i.e. Dexter, they had Sphinx, i.e. Nerds, and Majisk, i.e. Shush? It's not the greatest.
I like Dexter.
I'm not saying it's
I like Dexter a lot. Dexter to Zywoo. Like, Zywoo is one of the few AWPers at their peak who is better than Dexter. Like, there's probably, there's a handful of AWPers who've hit levels as high as Dexter has in the last few years.
Yeah.
There's Monacy, Zywoo, Simple, and then you're talking like maybe some Pius. And maybe Device.
Device.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, that's about it. Like, Dexter's really good, and this team can, it all depends on what version of Dexter you're getting and if they can get the best out of Nerds, but
I think they can start some events.
Like, I'm interested and excited to watch Heroic again.
That's a big statement. All right, we got one more team to talk about in terms of roster moves. Fluxo from Brazil have removed VSM and PKL, who I feel like PKL has been on every team in Brazil.
Yeah.
And replaced them with Nyx, who I've literally never heard of, I think from MIBR Academy, and Art.
Hell yeah. We love Art. I'll always go to bat for Art. I don't care. I don't care that he's a fundamentally flawed player. He's great for
this. I think Art will flourish in this type of team.
I
really mean that, because I think that against tier one European teams, that Art style like was really big when it first came out in like 2019, right? And it was really cool and it was really different. And I think teams have just really figured out how to play against it in Europe. Are you going to tell me that teams have figured out how to play against Art in Brazil? I'm not sure about that.
There's something I like to call the Arjen Robben conundrum. Arjen Robben was a footballer who was very one-dimensional, but was still probably the third or fourth best player in the world at his peak, because there's one thing knowing what he's going to do, and it's another stopping it.
I mean, David Ortiz was the designated hitter for the Red Sox. In baseball, you have a pitcher, if you're in the American League, that you don't have to hit, and so you have a guy come and hit for you. He came in and hit, and he was one of the best fucking hitters on the planet. That doesn't mean you're going to stop him suddenly.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
he's just going to fucking smash the ball anyway.
You know how Art's going to play, but that doesn't mean you can necessarily stop him doing it.
Yeah.
Especially, like, the top teams figured him out eventually, and it was a shame. But even then, there were periods where when Keyes Hirata was, like,
when you had to deal with
arguably the best player in the world, like, Furia was still really hard to stop. And, yeah, like, I'd love to see an Art redemption. I've always liked Art. He just seems like a fun guy. The way he plays the game is so pure and so insane.
I want Art to pull a Nafani.
Yeah.
In the way that you get, like, you get kid from your original team, they go on, they bring in some, like, new agents, right?
The whole Art thing. And Nafani are actually very similar players as well.
Yeah, but then Art goes and basically starts his own team, which I don't think Fluxo is starting his own team in any degree, but
no.
Brings the players in that he wants and kind of plays to his strengths in that team.
Yeah.
The same way Nafani is doing in BetBoom right now. I think that would be interesting. We could see if they can get to that same point.
Let me just look at Fluxo to make sure this is the team
I think
it's
Shea Jesus, Lukauzi, Nyx, Art, and
Zevi.
So
they no longer have Phelps, which is a shame. Because, I mean, Phelps and Art on the same team.
On Imperial, is he not?
Oh, yeah, he moved, didn't he? I think he was on Fluxo for a bit.
He was on Fluxo for a bit, I think.
Also, Art and Luke Halsey is kind of a very aggressive.
There's some other news we need to talk about, because I saw some weird shit involving Taco.
I don't know what that means.
The player Taco?
No, I figured that much, but I don't know what weird shit means.
I'm remembering this as I speak it, and I'm going to find it right now. I saw some weird team that I thought Taco was signing to, or some like rumor. Hold on.
This could be absolutely anything.
This could be.
You might have dreamt this. This is really funny if you dreamt it.
It would be really funny if I did.
This has happened to me in the past where like,
I don't know what it is.
I struggle to tell dreams apart from reality because I have very vivid dreams. And it would take
the
me
problem
quite a
is,
while to figure
is,
it out sometimes.
The problem is right now it's Tuesday. And in America, there's a lot of people tuning about tacos because of LeBron James. Oh, I found it. It's about Taco and Loud and Kaboom. They've like... So... Hold on, I need to translate this page. Where is Google Translate when I need it?
This is fantastic. This could be absolutely anything.
Hold on, one moment, please. Fury Academy, no. Where did it go?
Fury Academy Taco. Now we're talking.
No. It's Taco is going to Loud, and they're making a team, but there was a roster leak.
I see.
Hold on, I'm trying to search the right things to find it, but it's questionable. We're gonna pretend I found it. It was a really weird team. I have no clue where it is. I have absolutely no clue. I'm screwed.
Did it have Fur and Cold Zero on it?
It may have. It was a weird
because Cold Zero roster. Came out and said like, "Oh yeah, no, I asked Fury if they wanted me to join. They said no." It's like, well, you're fucking obviously, mate. Like, it's like, I DM'd Margot Robbie if she wanted to go on a date and she blanked me. Like, yeah, obviously. Like, what do you mean?
Translate to English. Go, do it. Okay, Taco is the target of Loud and Kaboom. Okay, apparently Loud and Kaboom are both trying to join. Kaboom is supposed to have a competitive lineup for the 2025 majors. And... apparently Taco was also approached by Fluxo.
Right.
But did not join Fluxo. I don't remember where this leaked roster was, and I can't find it anymore, If someone knows who this relief roster is, please tweet it at me. Yeah. Because it was a little unhinged, if I remember correctly.
Brazilian rosters are just mental. Like, they never make any sense. Like, I just...
No.
They just recycle the same, like, 15 players. But they seem to have, like, 15 players, and they make 8 rosters out of them at any given time. Like, as you say, like, PKL and Showtime are on 4 different teams at any given time.
Any given moment. The last time I remember PKL and Showtime was Luminosity.
Yeah. And they're probably still on Luminosity as well as being on 2 other teams. Yelzow as well. He's always on a team. Hardzow. Yep. They're just always on teams.
They're everywhere, man. We're going to end for this week here. You can find us on Twitter at Logan Rampap, at AZESC, and at RayTLDR. We'll be back next week. Dallas starts. Adios. Oh, yeah. Bye.